Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's always an advantage to work within the rules. An angle. One coach's predicament has me still looking. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, and I hope everybody is having just a great day today. SMU has lost multiple players to the transfer portal. Now, I want to tell you that it takes something for us to start the program in season with Southern Methodist. Out of season, SMU, I think I started the show one day back in, I don't know, like May, whenever it was. SMU said, hey, look at our collective. And they sent out a meme. I mentioned this yesterday for some reason. The gold Trans Am. I was like, good for you, Southern Methodist. Embrace it, man. Run to the fire. We got gold Trans Ams. We're handing them out. So that was me starting the show with, quote, actually, I'm going to say, I started the show, quote, with SMU. I didn't. I started the show that May morning with a story that affects you and your team, whoever it is you root for, because that was simply an it wasn't about, all right, now let's dive down and see how name, image, likeness is affecting SMU's recruiting in a positive way. That wasn't the point. The point was, hey, even a program like SMU has found a creative way to embrace name, image, likeness. Here is name, image, likeness, okay? You're driving 70 miles an hour down a crowded highway, and you just start yelling out the window, man. There is so much. Every school has this 3,000, that 50,000 a year, this 5,000 a month. Every school, to get someone's attention and name, image, likeness, I was like, it is like every 130 schools screaming at the top. Charlie Batch, do we remember what Charlie Batch did to get Eastern Michigan noticed? When Caleb Williams was in the transfer portal, Charlie Batch went on Twitter and said, I'll give you $1 million to go to Eastern Michigan. Okay, Charlie, we're talking Eagles. They're the Eagles, right? Yeah, they used to be the Hurons, I believe. But they're the Eagles. Yeah, we're talking Eagle football. We weren't talking Eastern Michigan football, were we? We were talking about what's possible in the portal. So that's what needs to happen for it to be an Eastern Michigan or SMU sort of thing. Well, I saw just the headline. Actually, it was just coming across the crawl last night. Whatever I was watching, one of the Bally's channels or something. SMU loses multiple players to the portal. I was like, here it is. Now, I've talked about this as well. Remember, after the first month of the season, basically, we have Exodus week. And it will be and when I say basically the first month of the season, it will change for each program based on the number of games they play and win. And then also individual kids when they reach that threshold of four games. We know how the redshirt rule works. So when I just saw the SMU loses multiple players, I was like, oh boy, here it comes. Well, SMU, your issues are so precious. Because I immediately thought, you know what, I've got some ideas how to protect coaches from what's happening now at SMU and how to limit attrition. Because I think as far as, besides practice and game day, like as important and vital to your program as anything right now is at least limiting, throttling back the attrition. If you are able to keep players in your program, that means you don't have to go recruit to replace them. Less time recruiting is more time coaching. That's simple, folks. And so I've got my ideas, and in this case, I was going to direct it towards Southern Methodist, but it really would apply to all schools. But I have been thrown a curveball. Now, the first curveball comes in that when that I say their problems are so precious, the multiple SMU players, there's four. And I was like, four? That's not at SEC levels. That's not at Power 5. Like 11. That's an exodus. Four SMU players are going to sit out the remainder of the 2022 season with the intention of entering the portal when that window opens. There are two defensive backs and two receivers, if you care. I'm just telling you. And they will enter the portal. Now, when you have dedicated transfer windows, it's sort of like your contract ends in the pros, but you can't sign a contract yet because, like, the playoffs are going on. Like, my team's out, so I don't owe the Baltimore Orioles anything, but I can't sign, you know, with Kansas City right now. I have to wait until a date comes. So that's what's going on. Out of the four players, three of them are serious contributors or starters. Now, whether it's four or 11, I said, all right, well, I know how to approach this. And how do we solve every problem? Yellow legal pad, black ink pen. So the first thing I do is I start sketching out, all right, why do kids transfer? Ultimately, it's supposed to be because they're not playing. Three of these kids start, and the fourth one contributes. So I was like, all right, well, we have to bait the players with some playing time the first month. Well, SMU did that. Okay, my next step is you have to gig the schedule a little bit best you can without wrecking your strength of schedule. You need to – this was my other idea. The first thing is, like, no matter what the situation is, if you have a kid, you have an inkling that he's looking at the depth chart and he's not happy, if you want him in the program. Folks, plenty of coaches are using the portal to run kids off. But I'm saying if it's a kid you want to keep in the program, which, of course, at Southern Methodist right now, I can tell you that is the case when you have starters. So Rhett Lashley you're looking around right now all over this roster and you're thinking, okay, who's going to be next? Because right now it's four and it's three starters. So Rhett Lashley, do you know what he did? He didn't have to manipulate this. He looked at the depth chart. All right, I've got these kids that I have an inkling they're unhappy, so I'm going to start sprinkling in playing time no matter what. Well, you can't do that. You can't put a lesser kid on the field. Folks, Matt Luke did it at Ole Miss. We've seen so many coaches do it with quarterbacks. I'm going to try to keep both kids in the program, so I'm going to put a quarterback on the field that we all know isn't as good as the other quarterback. If they do it with quarterbacks in the SEC, you can do it with a receiver in the American Athletic Conference. So two defensive backs and two receivers, three of them who start, the other one, he's got a role. And so my very first note under how to throttle back the attrition so you can recruit less and coach more, the first thing is, no matter what you have to do, you have to sprinkle in playing time for whoever you have real plans for. Well, they did that, and this wasn't sprinkled. You're starting. Oh, really? Yeah, we're going to target you. We're going to throw you the ball a lot. Okay. Well, that sounds good to me. And then after a month, it didn't sound good enough. So, yeah, we're not going to play anymore. Well, why are they not going to play anymore? Because SMU is 2-2. And if you only appear in four games, you can redshirt and keep this full season of eligibility. Folks, there is a new hustle being worked by some kids, and I will not apply it to the kids in Dallas right now. Do you know what the new hustle is? You have full intent of sitting out the remainder of the season after four games, and you know you're going to start and play a lot. Well, why do you plan to do that? Brother, I just want some film so I can parlay this into a better situation for myself. Why would a starter leave? Because he doesn't want to be there. Well, he starts, yes, and he'd like to start somewhere else. This is simple, folks. The kids are acting in a very just bottom line way. Now, this does not apply to every kid jumping into the portal. Absolutely does not. I'm telling you that with my yellow legal pad and black ink pen, man, I've got a laundry list of approaches. Every one of them, the SMU situation, batted out of the park. I was like, well, all right, fool them with playing time. Well, these kids started. Oh. All right, well, rejigger your schedule as much as you can to make sure that you start with your weakest opponents so that you can overload playing time. SMU started, and I'm saying within the first 4 weeks of the season, this is the goal. Trick the kids into staying. Because once they appear, if you want them, if they're a kid that you don't have plans for, hit the road, son, and we wish you well. We'll help you go get another scholarship somewhere. He's a great kid, team player. Well, he's transferring. Well, other than that, team first. So if it's a kid you have designs on, oh, that's underhanded. Yeah, sure it is. And that's what coaches all over there. It's I say baiting or tricking, luring. The coach is just trying to keep the kid happy enough that the kid stays. Because I got news for you. If you're unhappy at UCF, simply transferring to, I don't know, Arizona, it ain't gonna make you happy. If you're at Arizona and you're unhappy and you transfer to Marshall, I mean, the geography doesn't necessarily change everything. Oh, you know, the dry heat, I just didn't agree with it. So, work with your schedule, monkey with it as much as you can so that you, if you have a choice, and with non-conference, you can. Whoever your weakest opponents are, start the season so you can overload playing time and bait the kids into playing in a fifth game. SMU did that too. They started with North Texas and Lamar, Maryland at a conference, and then TCU. Folks, you got a big trip on the road to a Big Ten stadium? You got to play a team from across town, big crowd? You're 2-2, you had some success? Like, when I say work with the schedule to overload playing time, those are supposed to be we're scheduling victories. Teams that are 0-4, do you know what players will do? Hey, I'm jumping off this sinking ship. Teams that are having some success like SMU, they're 2-2. They have a game, folks, tomorrow night. Why'd the players announce now? Because if they wait until Thursday, coach may have put them in the game. Whoa, no, hang on. I've already played 4 games, coach. Can you imagine if you're a little bit on the fence and, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just opt out. I'm going to quit the rest of the season and then portal. But I don't want to tell the coach yet. All right, son. And at practice today, walk through. And I want to tell everybody that Steven here, he has worked so hard this season. Steven, you're going to start tomorrow night against UCF. Yeah, coach, can I talk to you? See, you've already been working me in playing time-wise, and I've produced, and I got good tape now. But I've already played 4 games, so I don't really want to start tomorrow. You don't want to start? No. In fact, I don't want to play. Why? Because it'll cost me my year of eligibility. This way, I get to show out on tape, jump in the portal, and then get offers from better places than SMU. Now, here's the funny thing. Dan, you ever been on campus at SMU for any reason at all? Maybe not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you are just a student, like, from Gen Pop, you have to have a particular family tree to afford Southern Methodist. I mean, it's an elite education, and it's an elite cost as well. So when I say someplace better than SMU, not educationally or environmentally or just walking around the campus looking at the flora and fauna, folks, there's not a lot. And you're in Dallas. It's pretty cool, but for your football situation.
You know how they call Clemson Auburn on the lake?
Yeah.
It's the same deal with SMU with USC, supposedly designed by the same people.
It is just a fantastic – and you're going there for free, by the way. I don't know what it is. $300,000 for an education there to stay long enough to do – that's not what they're talking about. Yeah, I'm going to portal. Why? Better situation for me. Really? Because I paid to go to a junior college for 2 years, and then I took, you know, a couple years off, and then I started taking the correspondence. And so after 9 years, I – that somebody listening right now is going, you got better than SMU? I have $88,000 in student loans, and you got something better than SMU? There is somebody listening right now going, really? Football-wise, he thinks, because we're 0-4. But again, as like I said, I went down the list of ways to combat this. Play everybody. Monkey the schedule so you can have layups early. You can put up a good general record like, hey, this rocket ship to the moon. We're ascending. Yeah, we're not in conference yet. No, we got wins in September. SMU did all of it. Rhett Lashley's looking around going, and I'm an offensive guru. And two of the four guys that are transferring are receivers. I am out of solutions. There's always an advantage. I say again, within the rules, there's always an advantage to work, an angle to approach something with. The first six that I have come up with and that should all work, none of them work here. That's what Rhett Lashley, we're talking about him. Folks, I'm talking about your coach. Whether it's Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or Dabo Swinney or Dave Clawson or anybody else, your coach is dealing with this exact same thing. He's like, I literally did every – I mentioned this a couple of years ago. Here's the ultimate example. I mentioned Matt Luke got himself fired playing two quarterbacks. Gus looked around and, hey, it didn't work for him with Bo Nix. He committed. He went the other way. Bo Nix and nobody but Bo, Joey Gatewood. I'm out of here. Recruiting successors? No, I'm out of here. Did Malik Willis go through a spring with Bo Nix as well before he left? I believe that's accurate. So that's what that was. And so Matt Luke tried it one way. Gus tried it the other way, the complete opposite way. They both lost their jobs. That's what everybody's dealing with, again, not just SMU. All right, we're going to break. Continue with this Chuck Oliver Show on this Tuesday next.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Commitment has been there. You know, we've everything that we've asked of them, they've responded, and so incredibly disappointed for them. You know, talent doesn't win games; teams win games, and we got a lot to get better at to become a good football team.
Yeah, and less talking, more winning. That's Brent Venables. I'm not going to say be careful what you wish for. This is what he wished for, and it's a great gig. He's head coach at Oklahoma, and you got to win. Regardless of the warm fuzzy of you coming home, regardless of the warm fuzzy of your OC coming home, regardless of how much you hate Lincoln Riley, no matter, despite all that, you still got to win. And losing to Kansas State and Texas Christian, you lost on the road to a program with a new coach who was supposed to have some issues scoring, and you gave up 55. Dan, what's Brent Venables do again? What's his sort of calling card?
Defense.
That's right. I forgot. Folks, God bless Sark or Venables this Saturday. Something's got to happen. I assume there are no more ties. They've got that game at the Texas State Fair, which I still have Dan failed me, by the way. Deep Fried Dynasty reality show that I watched back in the spring. I was like, Dan, get us to the Texas State Fair. I want corn dogs and deep fried pumpkin pie. And that happens this weekend. So we will still have to, what's the phrase? Sometimes wanting it is almost as good as having it. Well, I'm going to have to operate that way because we will not be broadcasting Friday from the Texas State Fair. But Texas, no, you get after it. And Venables got stuff to figure out. I mean, he's in charge of defense. You've given up 96 points over the past 2 weeks. Now, Adrian Martinez, yeah, wizard. I really, really, really like that guy. And against Kansas State, that's kind of what happened. Against TCU, TCU's undefeated. They're 4-0, by the way. Max Dugan, yeah, stud. And 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. That counts as having a really good season. So that's where you stand with OU. And when I say less talking, more winning, that's what every OU fan is already thinking. It's October 4th. Dan, how was your Tuesday?
Well, it's about enabling, too, for both me and you with the Texas State Fair, because you've come a long way in terms of your journey with health, and I'm trying to get there with my journey with health. So, you know, it's, you know, maybe let's give it about another year or so for the cardiovascular, you know, build up for me and everything of the such, that maybe the metabolism want to be a little bit better. Then we can do the deep fried Oreos and all those things there at Texas State Fair.
So we got 53 weeks to get that squared away.
That's it. You know, some businesses will, incentivize their employees to be able to get healthy. I think that that's our incentive there in one. You know, that kind of reminds me of what he's talking about there is, I think it reminds me back when Kirby Smart took over at Georgia in 2016, is that he did things a little bit different than Mark Richt. And the Georgia fan base, that's what they hung their hat on, is they said, all right, this is good, because there was a perception with Richt that he liked to win. He didn't have to win. Whereas Kirby Smart, I think, shows you in every single facet, he has to win. There is no other way, either in recruiting or on the field. And it's hard to argue with his results, because less than 5 years later, it resulted in a national title for him. I think for Brent Venables, it's one of those things that the rah-rah is great. All these different, you know, ways of being able to fire up your fan base and do all these things to say, hey, you know, we're on the right track here. That's all fine and good. But then the fans come to you and ask, all right, hey, coach,
yeah,
what's the plan then? How are we going to make this happen? How are you going to jump up our recruiting? How are we going to make sure that we're not a 7-point underdog to Texas this weekend? Because if you can't necessarily do that and you give the rah-rah, that's immediately, we've seen it numerous times, Chuck, that's immediately what the fan base is going to hitch their wagon to and say, yeah, get this clown out of here. I need a coach, not a cheerleader.
Absolutely agree with you. And at the highest stakes, where you're dealing with a championship program, not like Wake Forest could win a championship this season. Oklahoma's a championship program. Texas is supposed to be. And so that's where the standards and the bar is. And you know that going in.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. At least bottom of hour one means we're talking with Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix. He got himself a laptop, paid for some internet. He was in business. And so with him, it's widgets, man. It's efficiency. It's likely probable outcomes against what it is you value or want or et cetera. He'll tell stories, paint pictures with numbers. He'll give you predictive models. And when it comes to college football and people moving, whether it's players, coaches, ADs, et cetera, that's his business. Now, the reason I tell you all that to start with is it's October 4th. We're supposed to still be speculating. Hey, Dave, when the firings start, we're not speculating anymore. We got 5 Power 5 jobs open and more on the way. Let's welcome him on right now. Again, I told you he is College Football Matrix. It's Dave Bartu. Brother, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I picked up your phone call just to put down some, literally putting down coach search due diligence numbers. But yeah, five Power Fives already. It's crazy pills. It's the beginning of October. It's crazy.
It really is. And in two of the cases, for whatever this used to matter, two of these schools, Nebraska and Wisconsin, have fired a former quarterback at their program who came home to right the ship, and they're now former coaches getting a check. Well, let's talk about the two recent additions. Paul Christ, what was your expectation? And I know it's also about he doesn't coach the team by himself. It's about the staff he builds, the coordinators, the assistants, et cetera. What was your initial expectation, and how has that changed? Because most of his success came his first three seasons.
I don't know what to say. I really don't. I mean, it was look, I get it. It's a three-game losing streak. It's bad. His defensive coordinator, Leonard, has given up more points in the last two games than any stretch I can remember ever in his career. And, you know, I did on social media, I did put something out. I was looking back on it. It was April of 2021. And why that was important is that was the month Barry Alvarez retired from Wisconsin football. And it's always been my belief that Barry, as a head coach and an athletic director, was superhuman. He personally yeah. elevated that program for his entire career on and off the field, you know, because it didn't matter who his head coach was, right? I mean, he had Gary Anderson. It was awesome. He had Paul Christ. It was awesome. Paul wasn't that great at Pittsburgh, okay? Gary Anderson is rock solid at Utah State, and then he left Wisconsin and fell apart, you know, and then he had Bielema. And, oh, we're going to circle back on Bielema here in a minute in this whole process. But, you know, I mean, this is a guy who's won, I mean, what was he, 69 and 26? You know, I mean, he was
20 and 15 since the end of 2019. So that's COVID, 21, and this year. He's 20 and 15 and got some bad losses.
Right. There's some bad losses there. And so we've had some regression, you know. And I think part of it was Alvarez pulling back. And so, you know, I get where they're coming from trying, you know, you got Nebraska out there looking too, you know, and there's a lot of quality guys out there. I mean, it's five openings already, but how many more realistic openings are we going to have that are a better program than Nebraska or Wisconsin, you know, maybe in Auburn, but they're going to look for a totally different guy. They're not looking at the same guy. So, you know, with Wisconsin, man, careful what you wish for. It'll be interesting. I'm just curious to see if they let Jim Leonard walk, because they have been paying him to stick around as a defensive coordinator. I believe it's a really good staff. And do they just break it all up and start again? It's a careful what you wish for. Grass is not always greener on the other side.
Well, let's stay in the recently vacated jobs. I read the announcement from Rick George at Colorado, and he's the athletic director there, and Carl Durrell is no longer the coach here. I had somebody put it in a really simplistic way that this was Colorado's threshold, partly. Durrell was living nearby and really wanted the job. I'm like, you're a Power 5 program, man. You got to have standards. But I was also told Colorado don't spend, and that's kind of generally accepted. So tell me what you thought, what your expectation for Carl Durrell and his staff was, because, boy, they didn't meet any of that.
Oh, no, they didn't. They didn't come close to anything. Well, look, he didn't do anything at UCLA. He wasn't good there. He couldn't staff then. He can't staff now. And, you know, the expectation was that he was going to get fired at some point. It was just that simple. You know, I mean, why do you expect a guy who underperformed top 15 talent at UCLA for half a decade to come into Colorado and suddenly perform well? You know, it's nuts. And now Rick George, this is the third guy he's on, right? I mean, how many chips does Rick George have left right now at Colorado? Because he fired Mike McIntyre 2 years after he won the Pac-12 South. Colorado ain't been the same since. He hired Mel Tucker, which, by the way, I don't think Mel Tucker's that good anyways. And then Mel left, obviously, for Michigan State, and he brings in Carl Durrell, and now he's firing him. This is really, to me, this is really critical for Rick George. You fail at this one, and you're 0-3 now. And I think the most important thing for whoever he hires, it has to be a guy that is the best staffer out there. Because you're right, Colorado doesn't have the money to spend because it's a state thing. There's caps.
on how much they can spend on public employees. So at Colorado, you're never, ever going to get to keep anybody that's any good. It's going to be a revolving door. So with that in mind, you need a head coach that is phenomenal at evaluating coaches on both sides of the football and can pull guys out of the group of five and pull guys out of FCS time and time and time and time again. That is the only way you are going to be successful at Colorado is excellent staffing over the long run, because they don't have the money to retain the guys that are any good.
Continuing, Dave Bartu, again, he is College Football Matrix. All right, well, let's stay in that conference then, because in the Big Ten. We were talking about Wisconsin originally, because there are situations, and this applies to Colorado. Mm-hmm. There are situations where the AD – I'm going to tell you, like, I was telling a story last week. I was doing color on a game at Nassau Coliseum in Long Island. And I walked in and I looked at a guy and I was like, why are our team still playing here? And he literally, one of the employees, he said, it's paid for. at Georgia Tech, for instance, I asked, why is Brian Gregory still the head coach at basketball about five? He's like, he's paid for. There are places where there are serious limitations in money. And the reason I want to bring Wisconsin and Colorado together is because when you mentioned that it was Gary Anderson who was there for like 15 minutes and said, wait a minute, y'all lied to me about the budget. I'm going to Oregon State. That's the same thing. How do you function as an AD in today times? Because you're right. When Barry Alvarez was there, nobody had money. Now it's what everybody has. And especially if you're in the Big Ten, you have piles of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are they spending it?
They just paid Chris, what, $12 million to go away in September.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know if they're spending it. I mean, Wisconsin historically has also been extremely cheap and easy to pull guys away from, generally. Nobody's been able to pull away Leonard, but he's making $1.1, $1.2 million. They're actually paying for him. But, you know, I think it's like you said, it's a new world. There's a ton of money. They have to spend it. Right? To keep your nonprofit status, all the money has to go away. It's got to go back down to zero at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the motivation, this is why you see all of these massive buildings everywhere and new stadiums and gyms and facilities and locker rooms and coaches, you know, in and out, is because they have the money to spend. They need to spend it. So, with Wisconsin, you got a new AD. So this is a this is going to be an interesting test for the new AD, because Barry Alvarez has been all world for decades, and now the new guy's in there, fire and Crist. He better get this one right out of the gate.
Yeah, and if you care, and that was Wisconsin, they do care about this. I talked about my school, that a College World Series in the Final Four does not save the AD at Auburn. At Wisconsin, they went to at least one Final Four, I think multiple Final Fours. And remember, they would play that like street brawl 51-50 sort of game. And like, I was like, it's football. It's just extended a few months. And you're right, Barry Alvarez, man, his hires, they all seem to work. And it is a new day. We're going to take a break, come back. More Dave Bartu next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One of the far distant, way down the list of, quote, I'll say quote, important outcomes from Hurricane Ian. It's just devastation. It's awful. This SMU-UCF game that was supposed to be played, that is going to be played tomorrow night, that four players at SMU have gotten out just ahead of playing in their fifth game, potentially. It was supposed to be played last Saturday. And it originally was pushed to Sunday, so it would have already happened even if it was just to its first time it was rescheduled. And then eventually it got pushed to Wednesday. That's what I was talking about, emergency personnel. They can't be monitoring a football game when you got a hurricane going on, so you got to move football game. Well, because these kids had like three or four extra days sitting around going, hey, you know what? I think I'll portal now. That's what Rhett Lashley's dealing with. He can't complain, though, because remember, when he's at Miami, he got De'Aaron King same way. Want to welcome on right now again. Every Tuesday, we get him for a couple of segments from College Football Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, tell everybody, I gave a description there. Tell everybody, though, what it is you do and who gets in touch with you.
Oh, everybody gets in touch with me in college football, really, at every level, whether it's agents or players or coaches or athletic directors. But we just take numbers and tell stories. And right now, this time of year in the coaching carousel, it is all about performance, head coach performance, head coach staffing, head coach recruiting, the 10 guys they're going to hire, what they've done in their careers for, you know, on paper for coaching and recruiting. So we're basically using all the past numbers of these guys to try to tell the story of what the future could be for them. So as an example, for your listeners, let's say, right, you know, near and dear to your heart, you got Georgia Tech in your backyard. If I'm talking to the AD right now, not only are we looking at all the head coach possibilities, the guys he likes, the guys we like, guys we don't like, but we're also looking at the staff possibilities. How are they going to put all of this together? And what the athletic director can expect on the field, not just from the head coach, but from everybody that he's signing paychecks for.
That's what the man do. And as you said, you have now gone through and moneyballed an entire stat. This is how much we have. Here are our open spots. Help us. And so that's just kind of what it is. All right. Well, let's talk about the landscape of your job. Because I said there are already five Power Five openings. We don't speculate about hot seat, et cetera, but how does a school, for instance, like Georgia Tech, that doesn't have the most super-duper finances, at least by track record, they don't have the thickest accounting ledger, how do they compete where there are already four other schools, including at least two, Nebraska and Wisconsin, who are serious about college football? Georgia Tech, part of why you fire your coach early is so you can get a head start on things. Georgia Tech, they got to wait for all the real jobs to get taken.
Well, do they? I mean, are they really competing against Nebraska for the same guy? Honestly.
If they are, I would think it would be something like a guy coming from UCF like Scott Frost. Now, that wasn't all things being equal, but can't they compete for a coach who, quote, wants to move up from G5?
Well, is that really what Nebraska and Wisconsin are going to take, though? Right?
I mean,
I wouldn't think so. You know, given, I mean, you're getting rid of Paul Christ.
I think Wisconsin's this is Leonard auditioning.
Yes, it's got that written all over it, right? The staff's too good. The guy's an alumni. He's been a top three defensive coordinator the last 10 years. And it's a lower risk for the AD, right? I mean, that's what Scott Frost was for Bill Moose. You know, I mean, look at him. I mean, the guy was, 30 games under 500. But still nobody's mad at Bill Moose for hiring him because everybody wanted him. It was a safe AD hire. And I think that's kind of a point that I always like to make when we're talking about coaching carousel is the AD always says, I'm going to do what's best for the program. Really? You're willing to take a risk that you think is best for the program that might cost you your $100,000 a month job? No, you won't. Right? The hire needs to be safe. So when I look at Georgia Tech, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, I don't think Georgia Tech is competing for the same guys. And even if they were, culturally, what fits at Nebraska, in Lincoln, Nebraska, probably ain't going to fit in Georgia. Right? So I really think Georgia Tech, this is a good opportunity. It's a great opportunity because really the only team in the South right now that they're probably competing against, and I wouldn't even say they're competing against them, is Auburn. So Georgia Tech really has it wide open, and the question is what direction you want to go. You know, you're offensively, defensively, what fits well in the ACC? What can you compete best with? You know, is it a Chadwell and the RPO and the triple option and you know, all the funky stuff that goes with that from Coastal Carolina, or is it more ground and pound? You know, Cade Womack at South Alabama is doing really good things as well. So, from a Georgia Tech standpoint, if I'm a Georgia Tech fan, there is a ton of options. I'm not competing against anybody. It's wide open. I'm going to get the guy I really would like to get, regardless of my budget compared to everybody else. So, you know, are there budget constraints? Sure. There are. But are there plenty of guys with a high ceiling out there? Absolutely. It just depends on the direction that the athletic director and the board of trustees, board of regents, whoever's making the decision at Georgia Tech wants to go.
What do you think about calling guys out of retirement? Because I see a lot about Chris Peterson and Bronco and et cetera. And I just know as a blanket statement, every individual is different. And I assume, like Bronco Mendenhall, if he was taking a paycheck from you, he'd overwork. I mean, he would earn every dollar of it. But as far as like, for a very simple way to put this, talking somebody into coaching, it ain't the kind of job where you talk somebody into giving it. Like Joe Gibbs, that didn't work. When guys come back, it don't work most times. Give me your opinion about some of the retired, because it's easy to put those names out there.
Oh, it really is. You know, and there's no liability. That's I think that it always cracks me up. One of the parts I love about being on a coaching search, Chuck, is when I see social media and people going, oh, this guy's on Chuck's list and this guy's on Chuck's list and look at these guys on Chuck's list and my sources say this guy's on Chuck's list. And I'm like, dude, I work with Chuck and there's four people in the world that have the list and you guys are idiots. You know, nobody, but there's no responsibility. There's no liability there, right? I can say whatever I want about the Wisconsin search. Nobody's ever going to refute it or you know, say that that's true. So anybody can say anything for clicks that's out there. You know, I just lost where I was going.
I was asking about 100%. Bronco and Chris Peterson, like the retired guys, like calling someone who was retired and asking them to come out of retirement. It's too much work for me. And I think that that's just the easy way to throw names out there that gets, because if somebody says like, Danny Gonzalez, nobody knows who Danny Gonzalez is, but everybody knows Dan Mullen.
Right.
You know, Danny Gonzalez.
Right. And
he's the New Mexico head coach, by the way, for everybody listening, Danny Gonzalez, New Mexico head coach.
Right. But so there's a couple things there though. See, Bronco put his name back out there. Okay, nobody called Bronco. Bronco got together with his agent, who is related to a guy who runs a huge coaching search website, and got Bronco's name out there. Bronco wanted that out there. Okay, so that's not calling Bronco. Chris Peterson's name is out there all over the place. But has anybody called Chris? You know, now there's certain guys that you have to call. I remember one of the coaching searches I did, I told the AD, I said, you got to call Chip Kelly. Right, you got to call him just to see. You know, nobody mentioned his name. He wasn't out there. He wasn't promoting himself. And it was a million to one shot. He took the phone call. He's like, yeah, I would love to go back into college coaching. What? Really?
Just call.
You know, really? So when we do this, we're always looking for the guy to tell the AD, look, you got to give this guy a call. I mean, it's cool if he says no. We expect to know. But what if Chip Kelly says, yeah, I'd like to get back into college football coaching? Right. So
do you call Urban Meyer if you're a job that can actually hire Urban Meyer? Do you call him? And I say, if the call's free, and I mean, it's modern times, Dave, we don't even have roaming charges anymore. You can call anybody you want.
You can absolutely call anybody you want. But is that a guy you would even want on your campus? Right. That's the first question. Do you want Chip Kelly there? Do you want Chris Peterson there? Do you want Bronco Mendenhall? Do you want Urban Meyer? You know, is that a guy that you're you know, because you look at Urban Meyer on paper, everything explodes when he's there. I mean, he turned around Bowling Green. Everybody just thinks Ohio State, Florida. Dude, he turned around Utah instantly. He turned around Bowling Green instantly. But then 4 years later, it's gone. So you know what you're getting there. You know, are you willing to pay for something like that? But anybody can be contacted. It's just, does that guy fit on your campus?
Dave Bartu. He does this every single Tuesday, folks, but he is CFB Matrix on Twitter, which means it can happen around the clock all week long, and you can even contact him on Twitter, and he will discuss football with you. Appreciate you every time. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Dave Bartu again Tuesday. It's Bartu Day. So bottom of hour one every single Tuesday, and he stays with us the rest of the hour. So there are names that – and here's a name that is going to be mentioned – and it's not calling somebody out of retirement. Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson's not retired. Gary Patterson is special executive vice president in charge of excellence or something. Gary Patterson, do you know what he is? Like, his business card may just say OG on it. Because in college coaching in the state of Texas right now, he's kind of the OG. And so he walks in, and it was a purple shirt. Now it's kind of a burnt orange shirt, but he's still Gary Patterson. He's connected to a program still. And if you know anything about him, and I don't know Gary Patterson, but I have been around him and I've talked to him enough, and he has a reputation, and my experience has been it's real. He's got enough of, like, middle finger to him, attitude, chest out, even when things are good, that he would like to come – he would like to another shot at this just to show, you know, quote, people, like maybe people in Fort Worth, but people that he can run a program and still be successful, and I believe the same thing.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.